Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
Warning: the following podcast contains a famous nephew, stomach acid strength, a big slug, and hard eye contact with a barely emoting gorilla. All that, plus we tackle Skull Island, Reign of Kong, on today's podcast, The Ride.
Welcome to Podcast The Ride, hosted by three people with skulls, which are wasted storing theme park facts. I'm one of the skull owners, Scott. It's about skulls, is the in the name. That resonates, right? We know it's about skulls. Jason Sheridan, hi.
I mean, I have a lot of facts about islands of adventure, so it all works out.
In your skull.
In my skull,
in your skull. Keep your skull safe, so we can get them all out. Mike Carlson, how's your skull?
My skull is okay. I took a nap. I've been complaining about it ever since I got here 10 minutes ago. So I have a like dreamy skull still. My skull is still, I guess not my skull, but the contents of my skull are still recovering from the nap.
I bet your skull contents are also recovering from your activities last night, which I wanted to wait and bring up on the show, because woke up to them dreamily this morning, and I just want to say to your text, OMG, and then before that, the screenshot of what it was, which was that Sammy Hagar had been on Bill Maher's podcast and web show Club Random.
That's right, yeah.
I figured I'd just wait and do it in person. I hope it was a great episode. It was to both of us. I want to give Jason a chance to say anything he wanted about that too.
I might have already been like half asleep. It might have been very early, and I got up for a couple more hours and I went back to sleep. You know?
Well, but you're making it about you. What do you think about Mike and the great video he got to watch?
You know, I haven't swung by yet. I haven't swung by the old CR, the old club, you know? Mm-hmm. But I'm happy. Happy for you.
Thank you. Yes, it was a big. I've been a big proponent of Club Random, I guess. Mm-hmm. Bill Maher and his bad opinions and his bad show, where he drinks and smokes weed, and then people come on and he annoys them.
It's the dimmest show, the grungiest show. Yeah. They just need to like take that saturation and the brightness and dial it up. It mm-hmm. looks like. This is footage from 1968 and it needs to be restored. Can we take it to a lab? No. This was filmed several days ago. Mm-hmm. Well, but the things they're saying, the opinions, surely this is from 1968.
Yeah.
No.
So Sammy Hagar appeared on the show, and I've watched 45 minutes of it at this point.
Mm-hmm. Out of?
It's like an hour and something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was worried. Yeah, he doesn't go. He doesn't go like crazy.
Here's what
he's
I'll
no
say.
6 hour.
I'm glad you brought this up because
is this the audience? Yes,
the audience is thrilled. They saw the title of this. New listeners thrilled to talk about this.
Yeah,
ride.
It's show about theme parks.
And
we'll
all
get
of a sudden,
it.
They're in the fucking mud right now. Like, what am I in the mud? Why am I talking about Bill Maher? Oh shit! What is this shit?
Do they ever start? They skip 40 minutes in. Still a tangent. Hour 20. Still a tangent.
Why does most of this guy's interests? Why is the stuff that he likes to punish himself with? What is that about? What's contained in his skull that makes him want to punish himself with stuff like this?
You're also sitting drinking a bottle of, like, is that regular Sprite or
it's regular Sprite?
You're drinking full fat Sprite, so you're gonna have a sugar
full
rush
fat.
Full and then
fat
a crash
Sprite.
As opposed to diet Sprite. I mean,
what does anyone call
fat?
It that?
I don't know what else. Regular Sprite.
I would say Sprite.
Sugar,
or
so you're gonna crash. You're gonna get that.
I love
tired.
Full fat. There's zero total fat. No
okay.
fat.
Okay. Well, I, mean,
I don't think of it
plus.
As fat.
It's not.
How much fat is in
but
Sprite?
How many grams of sugar is that?
Oh, there's a decent amount of sugar, of course.
Okay, well, follow-up question. What was your dinner, and what are you going to eat when you get home?
Oh, I kind of skipped on dinner, so I was eating a Nature Valley granola bar on the drive over.
Okay, all right.
And I'm debating how to destroy my brain after the show if I get a Big Mac on the way home. Or
that's full fat.
Or that's, that is
that's
full
all,
fat.
That's only one option
but
there,
I haven't
and it's
eaten
full
a
fat.
Lot today. Or do I go to the 10:10 showing of Crimes of the Future at the Burbank AMC?
Sneak a Big Mac in there.
Do both.
Oh, sneak a Big Mac into a Cronenberg movie?
That's
there
right.
are only 4 tickets sold so far. So
you'll be distant.
You don't need to work on it during the record. You don't need to get the jump.
No, yeah.
People are listening to this show and thinking, this show should be called Club Random with the topic switching.
They have talked about any and everything but.
So real quick, I was very excited about this because I have often wondered if Sammy Hagar held any sort of animus toward a Jimmy Buffett or any of the other people who have sort of jumped on the celebrity liquor bandwagon in the last few years, because Sammy's been doing this longer than everyone, and he does.
Does it predate Margaritaville also?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And Cabo Wabo was his brand, which he sold, and now he has a new like a hard seltzer drink or something. I think he has a new drink, but he already made his money from Cabo Wabo.
Full fat, full taste.
Full fat liquid. That's so good. So he does. He throws a little shade at George Clooney and Jimmy Buffett at the start of this.
At Clooney?
Yeah, because he
wow,
kind of...
who is he, me?
Yeah, so he's obviously a little resentful that Clooney sort of came in and did the whole Casamigos thing, because he feels like he's the number one guy. He didn't say that, but that's sort of the tone of the conversation.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, Sammy's getting real at Club Random, because usually he's just doing some sort of a rock and roll interview on Access TV. That's usually how I'm watching him, because I very often am watching him interview one of his musician pals on Access TV.
He's doing the interview?
He's got an interview show.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yikes.
He gets to rock and talk rock with a lot of the guys.
He gets to rock and talk rock.
Yeah, he gets to do both things. Talk rock and rock, which is a good combination, which two things I like to do as well. So you get a little of that. You get some. There's some body talk up top with Bill, because Bill always wants to talk about the ladies.
Well, that's what I hear. Content warning. Skip ahead, because I put it on for a second as I was curious what you were OMGing about. And the first thing it landed on was, "Hey, settle a bit. Do you get a lot of pussy?"
Ugh.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's what Bill said.
Well, don't, babe, but does the change if you remember that's coming from a 70-year-old man?
To another 70-year-old man?
To another 70-year-old man? And that they are both sweaty in the shot?
As usual on Club Random, the guest, Bill makes the guest seem like the easiest person to hang out with in the world. You're like, that other guest seems nice, like compared to Bill? Because Bill's been like, Sammy's like, oh, man, you know, he says it a little bit. But then later, Sammy's getting uncomfortable with the amount of times Bill has said the word pussy.
Oh, boy.
So Sammy's like, oh, no, man, you know, people are going to think we're, like, being, like, degrading. He goes, no, that's not it. It's beautiful. Everything's beautiful, man. It's all good. Everything's good. You know, sex is a beautiful thing. He's explaining to Bill.
It's gotten worse somehow.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Being a beautiful thing.
He's trying to get away from Bill's bodiness, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying Sammy is trying to,
as
you know,
by the
diffuse.
Way, as we need to do,
I agree
as well.
But when you open the door to Club Random,
we have to let's cut off the people who have already typed into their comment boxes. Oh, so 20 minutes about Club Random. Let's see if we can get them to backspace it.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, it's my fault. I brought it up.
You did bring it up. Which look, at any time on this show, we can open up the door to Club Random, and then the topics will get random. Let's just say that. Mm-hmm, wouldn't it be funny if Bill Maher sued us if we stole Club Random for some sort of aspect of our show? I think it would.
Did he lock those words down?
I don't know. Let's find out.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Scott, I texted Mike something last night. I texted him a link on I think the Walmart website to a vintage, well, a reproduction of a vintage Toys R Us Ghostbusters, real Ghostbusters toy, Fearsome Flush, the haunted toilet.
Okay.
And I sent him this link and he replied, already got it. So
$12 retro. They're redoing all the old Kenner real Ghostbusters toys. And I have a few. I have the Venkman because he was always my favorite, obviously. Like that was a stretch. Mm-hmm. Every kid liked Venkman. But then they have the toilet monster, and I had to get it. So,
hey, settle a bet. Can Fearsome Flush hold a lot of shit?
Oh, man, don't call it shit, man. That's not a nice, like, let's just call it excrement. Let's say what it
come
is, you know?
Come on,
man.
Answer the question.
No, we're man. In. You're making it sound bad. It's
come
just
on,
the thing
man.
Our bodies do. That's a natural thing.
Smoke on this loud. Come on. Hit this loud.
Okay, let's veer from this to what the audience is, what they actually want to hear, what they are begging for, and that is the beginning of discussing the ride Skull Island Reign of Kong. And what I say the people are waiting for and waiting for us to do is a classic podcast, The Ride. This is not that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because, I got it.
Yeah, you know exactly where we're heading. Yes, there is breaking down to do. Would you like to say one of the things that this is not? Well, maybe first of all, this is a ride in Islands of Adventure in Universal Orlando, which mm-hmm. means it is yeah. not other Kong things that are similarly titled, such as...
It is not the 2017 movie Kong Skull Island. Skull Island Reign of Kong is not Kong Skull Island.
No, because this ride is set in the 1930s. It is a prequel even to the Peter Jackson film King Kong. It happens before the events of that movie, much less that movie, Kong Skull Island, which confusingly was coming out after the ride was opened.
Yes.
And that movie is set... in the 70s, I think, and like
during Nam, yeah,
because it's the first, because it came out in 2017, remember?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the first shot of it is there's a big protest in Washington, and then John Goodman says things will never get crazier in this country.
Yes,
yeah,
he does say
and
that.
The audience stood and applauded for so long they missed the next scene and a half.
Mm-hmm. Interesting that you mentioned that. Apparently, the rights for Kong. The legendary, I believe it's production company, the rights jumped from Universal to Warner Brothers. And there's a 2016 Slash Film article that said, rumor has it that if this project had gotten approved 30 days earlier, it would have been a Jurassic Park ride instead.
Whoa.
Or a Jurassic World ride, excuse me.
Because it is in the Jurassic Park area,
yeah.
technically, of Islands of Adventure. Really? Wait a minute. So, wild.
Because you have to remember 2016, that summer Jurassic World is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So,
was it 2015, I want to say? It's the first
was
one.
It?
I could be wrong. But
yeah, 2015.
But it was like, you know, it was still fresh, I think. And there is still no Jurassic World presence in Florida.
Right.
That is sure to change now that it's Jurassic World Mania out there. It's locust. It's genetically modified locust mania out there.
It was right. 2015, so they would have known it was a massive hit, so it would have been a reliable choice for a property for a ride.
Wait, certainly. Velocicoaster is Jurassic World.
Wait a minute.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah, okay. All right.
I haven't even been there. I was like, oh, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's.
Yeah, you're right. Because that and is there like Pratt material? And
I think so.
Okay,
I think Pratt has a video. Trying to go in clean, cold as far as the ride.
Clean and cold.
You just cut off at the Pez people yelling about that. That is true. I guess I was just not thinking because the one here is called Jurassic World the Ride.
Right.
Which that is not. So it tricked me.
That's
but you're
true,
correct.
Right.
Yeah.
So the presence is growing. Blue is there. We can see all our friends.
Mm-hmm.
Can we see Claire Deering? I think she did something.
I think Claire on the
I'm not 100% sure.
We're trying to go in clean.
Clean and cold.
Clean and cold to the ride.
Mm.
So
make
we don't
sure,
know
yeah.
if
make
Claire
sure it's
is
both
there.
Clean and cold.
Are there other things that this ride is not?
Well, I wanted to be clear that it is not King Kong 360 3D,
right,
which is the proto version of it that is part of the Universal tram tour.
Yes.
It also obviously is not Kongfrontation, which was the mm-hmm. which we did an episode about. That one we
remember
covered,
that
of
yeah.
the Kongs. That's the one that we've done. It's a real sticky mess here, these Kongs.
Yeah.
And because there's so many sub Kong attractions to mm-hmm. do. Kongfrontation was the Universal Florida, the original ride with big robotic Kongs.
Yep.
And then King Kong Encounter is apparently the official name of what it was on the tram before it burnt to the ground in 2007.
Mysteriously.
Yeah, yeah. Probably the most important of the this is not that is King Kong 363D. Because, so if you haven't been on the Universal Tram Tour, Robot Kong burnt down. They did this new thing in 2010 that is screen-based. You drive into a building and there are two big screens on either side of you, which they do not cover the transit into.
No,
you drive in.
Yeah, they don't cover above or below. So it's more like, it's not even Kong 180. It's Kong pillar boxed. Like,
yeah, there's no amount of degrees that have been, it's a little less than, well, no, it's 360 minus a big center sliver.
Yeah.
Right.
And yes, plus every bar and person blocking your view.
Was there already a King Kong 3D? Am I imagining that? I think maybe I'm thinking of Jaws 3D.
I don't think there was a movie. Kong 3D. Mm-hmm. I don't believe. But anyways, when this was getting announced, I thought, oh, is this some kind of let's shove that in version? As Fast and Furious ended up being. That was a clearly designed for the Universal Tram Tour in LA. Let's try to piece that out into its own ride in Florida. So I thought, is this going to be one of those? Is it kind of let's just shove it in and maybe there's a custom ride vehicle and that's good? And for the most part, I would say no, because I would not be excited about that at all. I don't really like that thing in the Tram Tour. This thing, I don't know how y'all feel. I really like this thing.
Well, I'll say this. I like that part of the Tram Tour. I do it's not amazing, but I do like it versus obviously the Fast and Furious part.
I like it. I think the Islands of Adventure attraction, I think, is like a pretty solid attraction. Going back and rewatching videos and stuff, I was like, oh, I do like this. And they did like put a lot of attention in and added some new stuff, like original characters and like little nods. I think they tried to make they nod it to like the essential King Kong elements, like the island, the big wall, like other freakish creatures on the island, early 20th century, mid 20th century explorers.
You get a fully fleshed out experience. But here, now I'm wondering, from having to toss this out here, am I more enthusiastic about Skull Island here than the both of y'all? I feel like maybe I'm a little above you, and Mike, I don't know.
Here's what I'm going to say, and I'm not, I swear to you, I'm not doing this to troll. I'm not doing this to start another, we're not going to opening up a club random door, but I swear to you, I'm going to say this, and it's true. When we went to Islands of Adventure and did this for the first time, we got on it and we enjoyed it. And then I heard people talking about it, and I remember going, well, what are they talking about? I missed these elements. And the elements they were talking about were in the queue. They were in the line. And we totally missed them because there's some cool shit in that line.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel that eases you into, like, the fast pass version of getting onto the ride really robbed us of sort of getting in the mood for the ride. And I do think, and again, this is not trolling. This is a thought I'm having in real time with Belmar.
No, the curse.
You've cursed the curse of Mar.
Think carefully about what you're going to say next. Don't say anything politically incorrect.
Oh, no. Oh, Sammy kept calling his show now politically incorrect, and Bill was driving him nuts. He hated it. It was so funny. So I saw it, and I go, oh, yeah, the queue is really cool. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like in the same way that Indiana Jones really sets the mood for it. So I think when watching the videos, I go, oh, I think I would have liked this a little more if I had done the queue.
All right, look. We're at that. It occurred to me that this might... we might head into this area because, look, I'll dive right in. Hmm. This is as close as I could think of to an unskippable queue.
Yeah.
That's me saying that. I think it's a very good queue, and it might be even an attraction where the queue is half of it. There's a lot because you got animatronics there, you got great sets, you got atmosphere.
Yeah.
You have I think this is a line first, a character jumps out in the, which I don't remember happening when I was there. They might have been on break.
Yeah. It might only be like busier times of the year, because I don't think I have seen that either. There is, I mean, there's a lot to like about it. I think overall, this is like a rock solid like attraction for Universal.
But queue wise,
terrific.
You did the full queue.
I think I did Express 2 when I did it, but it was looping it through most of the queue. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I saw the worm animatronic. I saw the shaman animatronic.
I don't remember that either. Yeah, I might have single writered it. I don't recall, but I saw a lot of stuff.
Yeah. My memory of it, unless we really were out of it, my memory is we kind of went in a real quick way, kind of right on the ride part portion of it.
But let me ask you this. How much do you actually regret this having happened?
How many? Oh, on my list of regrets of my life? No, this is not in the top 100.
And that is what I'm saying. That's the argument. Wait,
that's not the argument. That's not the
argument. It is the argument.
The regrets the idea that of your you would life?
Like think back and go, God, but I... That was it. Like you might only be there once. You'll be there again, but
you were just saying there's certain cues if people had the time to spend that you would want them to go through.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what we were talking about. I think that's my memory.
But now
we're gonna have to go back to the tape.
Having brought this up,
yeah,
you're down in Florida. Maybe you are with other people. You get front of the line passes. Let's do Express. Let's skip some stuff.
Yeah.
Your friends say, oh, let's use Express Pass on Skull Island, Reign of Kong.
Yeah.
Do you now say, I'm sorry, friends. What we need to do is experience the queue in full because I've heard it's very good. And even Scott, the villain of this argument.
I would probably be more benevolent and say, you guys do the Express. I'll catch up with you in a little while. I'm going to do the full queue. I know it sounds silly, but there's a lot of stuff. Like, this for example, 150,000 square feet of rock work.
Well, that's some a lot of rock work.
By the time you said that, they would be right there with
just
you.
Just running.
I think I said this in the time. You got to know your audience when you're with people at the parks.
Yes.
You got to know your audience. So I'm a crowd pleaser. I am somebody who wants to cater to the group. So obviously, look, if I'm with some of my rowdy guys from my hometown and they just want those thrills, like hit you in the face thrills, then yeah, okay, we can skip the queues and I know they're not going to
next. Yeah.
Yeah. All my rowdy friends and I are going to the theme park tonight.
They're like giving you a wedgie as you're rattling off 12 guests per row, 72 per vehicle.
you're dying to say these facts. You are like, we're having a little thing.
Having
and you're like, how quickly can I get the facts back?
We're having a debate. Yeah. You're trying to...
But... 72.
So, yeah. So, I think it depends. But certainly if... Okay, how about this? You got some friends. They move out to Los Angeles, California. Yeah. Maybe they're not theme park people, but they're open-minded. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they go, you know what? I would
you
like
say,
to
say, let's
get...
all have sex together. And then you do, and it's wonderful. And you forget about theme parks.
Let's go to a special club with bad lighting. yeah. So you say, okay... we'll go to the theme parks. And then I would start to go, you start them slow and you start to explain like the history of things. You start like there's certain people, you know, and especially if they have the time. So what I'm trying to say is in this scenario, somebody has the time and you'd say, oh, have you ever walked through the whole line of whatever ride we're talking about? Mm-hmm. Oh, you only do single rider at Indiana Jones. Well, did you know there's a long queue? And then you point things out. But they have to be that type of person that might appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
I like both of your answers. Jason gave a very realistic answer of something he would say that would not force the group to do it.
Sure.
Where I felt like the first time this came up is that what was expected of me is that I veer everyone with me.
No. I think what
like you need to eat your homework.
I think what happens when we all have debates on this show is the same thing that happens in politics, where all of a sudden we're at the very ends of every side of the argument.
Mm-hmm.
When maybe that's not actually where the argument started. So the argument started, I feel like, from what I'm saying, but it somehow morphed into Scott hates lines, hates the
and look, I don't like that. That's something people say to me and comes up in comments and stuff. Like, well, people suggest like a Club 3, like what about lines that Scott would actually do?
Mm-hmm. I do lines all the time. I'm just saying the argument.
But yeah.
If you had the option to skip all of them always.
A lot of these arguments, we would have to go back to the scene of the crime and really suss out exactly those first like eight to 15 sentences to actually figure out what everyone's opinion is on them.
Sure.
You know?
Yes. Right, right.
So yeah.
Which is why we're going to get back into Lake Nona for a long time right now.
Yeah, let's go.
I was just letting you guys.
Let's go.
Pass it down.
All right. Okay, you've let us talk. Say some facts. Say your facts.
2,160 guests per hour with a dispatch going every 2 minutes. Although there's usually
four
of the five vehicles going at any given time.
Do you have the miles per hour of the ride?
I don't have the miles per hour. What do you think?
It's not a fast ride.
I was trying to tie it in. I was trying to like do the Sammy Hagar. I can't drive 55, but whatever. I can't drive four
miles.
He's got to do five. He's one of the animatronic drivers of this attraction.
Yeah.
Oh man,
it was Universal's first trackless ride.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, opened in 2016. It is interesting that then Fast and Furious came after that because they put so much time and attention into like plussing up a port of like a clone of the studio tour.
Yeah, making it way more of a beginning, middle, end experience.
They they like up-res the animation. They added, you know, they tweaked like there's not a tram being thrown. There's another, you know,
it's not a not a bright blue Universal tram anymore, which I guess I miss in a way. Wouldn't make sense if it was there. That's but I kind of like that. Maybe just because I worked there when I see those babies, it reminds me of my wild youth. So seeing one in peril, tumbling through the jungle, like, there's my girl. That's how
you were
around
in your rowdy years. When you would think back to that first car you owned.
Yeah, mine was.
First place you'd go.
You were at Mel's Diner pulling up in a multi-car tram.
I do consider that. Yeah, that's my first car.
Mel's Diner. Then we'd take that thing for a ride over to the Big Fat Liar set. Oh, baby. Those were the years.
You want to get really wild? See a flash flood? My friend Al Roker has some information about it.
I know we're not at this part of the tram yet, but why don't I hit the gasolina sound cue?
Oh, those days.
Yep. Yeah. You never forget your first car. That's a car that you are not licensed to operate. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It is a separate union from yours. It's way better than yours anyway.
Yeah. The vehicle is cool. I don't know. It looks cool. Like
the vehicle of this,
the Islands of Adventure version.
Mm-hmm.
I remember. This shouldn't take any points away. But there, I am somewhat active as far as being like a lurker on the inside Universal message boards. I think this is where I read this, where they have a lot of rumors and people speculating. It might not actually be these boards. It might be different boards. But there was a lot of talk before it opened and then after it opened of like speculation on what the Universal creative people were going to do, like, and I do think in some ways it had built it up as like lots of robots maybe in between.
Well, okay. Do you remember the one rumor? Because I was going to bring this up.
Yes,
that there was going to be different tour guide characters, which did pan out. That did come to pass, but that
Kong
was going to reach into the cab and pull. They would do it where like the driver was pulled out of the car.
Wow.
By Kong.
Oh.
Which would have been admittedly awesome.
Yeah.
And probably impossible. Incredible. Probably a pain in the ass.
Well, the rumor I had read on one of these boards, and again, who knows if that's true. I mean, I think that one might have been a better source even than this. This was just like a message board, but there's a rumor that they were gonna have like animatronic Kong legs running behind you or something.
Yeah, the running.
In some way. I'm not sure how they would make that look, but there was some, yeah, very, very ambitious version that probably would have mixed the 3D movie and robots.
How do you do that and make it, like, hit the ground with any...
I mean,
like,
I guess it couldn't hit the ground. You would just make the noises and it would kind of...
Yeah.
I'm just speculating.
But
I'm
just no, like the bending of joints on a massive scale, that seems... I could see why they threw that out. Oh, as cool as that would be.
Expensive as hell, yeah. So I remember kind of reading a lot of that, and then maybe by the time... Like, you see there's a little robot, and then there's like just a... Like a nice, yeah, I guess it's Optimus Prime style ending with the character at the end with it, which is a robot. But spoiler alert:
you get a real moment.
But yeah. I think I went, in some ways when the ride was being built, I think I was like, "Whoa, this thing's gonna be nuts!"
Yeah,
And it's just like it's good. I do like it. I'm not trying to put it down.
Mm-hmm. Basic synopsis of it, just to get that out of the way: it is 1931. You are on a expedition with the Eighth Wonder Expedition Company, and you're going to explore Skull Island. People don't really know everything that's going on there, but you're trying to find if there's any evidence of prehistoric creatures, because that could be an incredible finding, and there's archaeologists already there trying to do exactly that. And boy, do you find them. Boy, do you find them, and then some.
Yeah.
And in fact, one of the archaeologists, Kate, is kidnapped by not a bat. I mean, anyone, if you poll 99% of the people coming out of this, they'd say it's a bat. But the name of it is somewhere in my notes. Oh, there it is. A Terrapus mordax.
A Terrapus mordax?
Terrapus mordax.
Jason, you have Terrapus mordax?
I did have Terrapus mordax. The bat does drop her and the other guy.
But
and then
that or a Terrapus?
The Terrapus mordax.
You're confusing.
Very good.
But then the giant claw that grabs her is the giant crustacean, the Deplector.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
The Terrapus mordax is just the beginning of the problem. It's the... Sorry, what then?
Deplector?
I don't have that.
Deplector? I don't have that either.
I got a decarnate... Decarnus C-Mex.
Oh, Deplector. Here.
Is that the worm?
No, that's a that's a Carnictus.
Deplector I have here is giant crustaceans living in the cavernous crevices found along the walls of the insect pit on the King Kong wiki.
Okay.
Yeah, because right. there's like big scorpions and big spiders.
Deplector.
And then a crab.
Deplector's a cool name.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. There's a lot of cool, like, gross... bugs and monsters and stuff, and I like that they gave them names.
We were pro name. More names the better.
It feels like they did go all out with the details and stuff. There was also a lot of short making of videos on YouTube, and then there was a fake web series called Myth Explorer.
Whoa, I didn't see that.
It's on the Universal Orlando video account. And it is like a fake, like, Discovery Channel, like, globe-trotting exploration show about a woman hunting for the real Skull Island.
Wow.
But she acknowledges that there's been movies and TV shows, and there's a ride coming to Universal. It's like
a thing within
a thing. And so, it's 2017, or 2016, you know. There's also one of the... behind the scenes videos, a Universal creative person, she goes really into the importance of STEM education, of science and math education, which I feel like was really big in 2016. Like, I feel like there was a big push about the importance of STEM education. That feels very much of its time.
And I'm sure the educational thrust in that area has remained with under the firm leadership of Governor DeSantis.
Focus on science
and math is as strong
focused,
as ever.
Sure.
He's focused on all the right things.
All the right things. The more books, the better, he says.
Oh, yeah. You
know? He is so mighty and steadfast, much like King Kong.
Mighty Kong himself.
King Kong. Countrywide, I feel like they're loving books. It's a real book time.
Great time to read.
Yeah.
Do you know if the woman found Skull Island in the continuity of those videos?
I feel like it. I only saw two clips. I watched two episodes, and then it kind of like cut off.
Oh, so they, maybe they didn't finish the narrative.
Yeah, I don't know if they... Well, the website mythexplorer.com is no longer active. I think one, the Orlando Informer articles about Kong Skull, I think they did redirect their link to the archive.org page, but it didn't seem like a ton was super functional there, you know? Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll never know.
Yeah.
Archive.org, the Skull Island of websites. Mm. You gotta go on an expedition. Don't you might not ever come out.
Don't let your computer get a deplector-style bug. Please, be careful.
But yeah, generally you were, and we'll go into details of it, but generally you were trying to save this archaeologist, and they're calling you back to the base camp. No, it's not safe. But no, you gotta go save her, and thus you end up in the jungle with a bunch of dinosaurs mm-hmm. who are not, we'll get into who they are, mm-hmm. But King Kong swoops in, saves the day, mm-hmm. and gives you a little moment where you worry is gonna be bad news, but is more like, remember, I'm the guy.
Yeah,
it's me.
Yeah, he there's one
mad
king.
Dogs you.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah. He shows his authority.
Yeah,
which is nice,
as you have to. So well, I mean, we could kind of look. We could talk about the queue. Mm-hmm. It's a good queue. It's a good queue.
It's really good. Yeah. And it's got so much. As we talked about a little, like a scare actor sometimes, we think. We're not sure the schedule on that.
There's like screen characters, essentially. Like there is a, where I was like, wow, this is pretty cool in here. Where they kind of lure you into looking through this area with some rocks where there's some sparkly stuff going on. Mm-hmm. So you crane your head, what's going on in here? And then, bah, a guy jumps out at you, who is very realistic. And very bright in that way that realistic screen people are, but mm-hmm. the brightness kind of adds to the
surreal.
You don't expect to see such a bright figure poking out of those rocks. That still is burned into. It did genuinely freak me out, and I was like, "Well, this is stuff that's only in this queue."
They gotcha. Yeah. yeah, it's like we've heard tell over the years, like of those. The Haunted Mansion, like lore of when they would have like an actor in the ride or hanging out. You know, like I guess it was a suit of armor. There was like they supposedly had an actor like wearing the armor on the ride. And the legend is like a person punched the person because they like got their face into the car. So I've heard of this. And then like Knott's used to do it at Scary Farm. They would do like scare actors on the log ride or maybe it was on the mine cart. Ride. I forget one, maybe both.
I think it was the log ride because you are going pretty fast. So there's not a ton of spots for them to pop out. So it was a lot of the emergency exit.
Yeah, right.
They you kind of knew it was coming because it would be dangerous to pop out from anywhere else, you know?
Yeah, they haven't done that. They haven't done those. I don't think the last couple of years, well, not a couple, whatever, 4 or 5 years. I feel like since something we've gone, like I don't remember them having those scare actors on the ride. But I've always been, I think as a kid even, I was always kind of unsure of like, oh, is there a real person here mm-hmm. in these rides? So this is like the first time, I guess one of the most popular, like a big Universal or Disney ride had a full scare actor, correct me if I'm wrong, that's like regularly showing up in the ride experience.
Yeah. Well, don't forget the special treat that met some Disneyland guests every once in a while when Captain Jack himself.
Oh, okay. Well, sure. Yes.
But who?
That's not quite I'm saying.
I don't even want to.
There's no stamina for you left in you to get to the end of that joke.
Rather not say the name.
Yeah.
Look it up yourself.
So this is cool. And as a kid, this would have scared the shit out of me, and I wouldn't have wanted to go on it because I would have been like, "There's a person in that line? No way."
I was terrified at the idea of real people in haunted houses as a kid to the point of. It was either in like Wildwood or Seaside Heights. Like we went to another town one night at the Jersey Shore that we didn't often go to. And there was a haunted house. And I was so excited because I loved the Haunted Mansion. But there were all these warning signs that was very intense. And like we went up to the teen working and was like, are there people in costumes in this? He's like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I'm not doing this one. I can't.
Early on, I remember the most like, Rinky Dink Carnival haunted house around Halloween, and it was like there was a sign outside that like explained kind of what it was, and I was like, no way and I was like 7 or 8, and then like that lasted up until what, 5 years ago, whenever I went to, whenever I started
loving it
at some point.
Well, there, I mean, trick or treating in my neighborhood, there were parents or families who would go all out, and I remember a couple times, like dads, because some people would have like scarecrows, you know, on the front, like in a chair on the front yard, and then some people would dress like scarecrows and sit in the thing and then jump out at you when you reach for the candy bowl. And my dad always tells the story of like there was one house and we were pretty sure that like it was a person, not a scarecrow, but I went up and got candy and said hi to like the people giving out the candy and walked away, and so I didn't get caught. I didn't get, you know, they didn't jump out, and we turned to walk away. My dad looks back and the guy goes, "Hey Mike, hi," and like it was, but he saw me coming.
Oh, so he didn't scare
terrified
you.
So he did not do it.
He went easy.
He was a cool dad.
For Jason.
Oh wow, well that's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Well, speaking of a candy bowl, makes, I don't think I even said this because I think I did this after we recorded our Halloween episode last year, or where I detailed my panic attack before going into an escape room with Eva. With the Minotaur. But I tried to get right back on the horse like a week later and went to a Zombie Joe show with Eva, which is just like a little mini maze and then a weird show with a lot of nudity, because that's the thing over there.
Club Random movie. The Club Random experiences.
But there's a, they make a maze, they can make this very tight maze out of just like, I don't know, maybe I have told the story. They make just like what am I thinking of? You put down like a tarp or something. They like kind of make it in the lobby of this small theater.
Okay.
So like you really are like, say it's like as big as this garage, but they've put so much tarp and stuff around.
They section it off to turn it.
Yeah,
into.
And it's like a maze and you have to like go like really tightly in, and there's people in there yelling and screaming at you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then at the very end, because you go one way, then you go into the theater, watch the show come out the other way. And it's a new maze with different characters on when you're way out. And in the very end, there's a candy bowl. And you go to reach for some candy. And, of course, it's a human being. And their head has got, like, a candy bowl thing is fixed to it.
You're touching their... Oh, no, it's not. It's, the candy isn't their face.
Right, no, but it's, like, stuck on their head. And they're, like, in this, like, position, like, as if there's some sort of stand for the candy bowl. And
that's
great.
So
you reach and you go, ah! It's really a one last freak fright before.
But I like that you... You're genuinely like, ah, I made it. Ah, now to enjoy some candy.
I was disappointed because I did reach in to get the candy.
I was going to say, they found the way to get you every time.
I wish the person saw me and was nice like when Jason was little.
Yeah.
Although there wasn't real candy either. I was disappointed. I touched it and it was like fake. Mm-hmm. It was like rubber and warm because it was the person's head.
So your scream was less scared and more... It's not candy.
I wanted my full fat candy. I wanted full sugar candy.
Yeah. You know, I think this was Universal Orlando's first thing with scare actors year round. But out here, there was the Universal House of Horrors.
Mm-hmm. Yes, which I've talked about
before. I mean, I guess that's different. That's like a full haunted house.
Yeah. That, you know, you're right. That's true. But yeah, it is also just a haunted house. But as a kid, I think we share the same, like, I hope there's not real people on this. Because as a kid, I think you would learn with Disney and Universal that you could count on the rides to do what you knew they'd do. There was a safety in Haunted Mansion because you knew it was going to be the same thing every time.
Yeah. The beach town where they were still giving out cartons of cigarettes at the carnival games, I knew was a little more chaotic.
Yeah, because that was unpredictable. But the calmness that you could get from knowing that there were not random elements on the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
Well, that's why, that's why the Haunted Mansion stinks, right? You know exactly where it's going.
Yeah.
Not like a freewheeling conversation.
That's right.
Maybe we can talk about lib tears a little bit.
That's right. Folks, Michael here, and those of you who listen to this podcast might consider me a bad eater. Well, folks, I'm eating a lot better thanks to Factor Meals. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever you are. And you're probably like, oh, what, is this just boring stuff? No, no, they have fun things like pancakes and smoothies. You can discover a wide variety of easy options for the entire day, like breakfast, midday bites, and more. Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast, premium options with no cooking required. So, here we go. Head to factormeals.com/podcastride50 and use code podcastride50 to get 50% off. That's code podcastride50 at factormeals.com/podcastride50 to get 50% off.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So anyway, I mean, this queue is, it is really fantastic. The exterior is great. Mm-hmm. I feel like in general, what you can tell they're hitting over and over is it is a screen based ride, but it's a screen ride for people who don't like screen rides, because
yeah,
that is the basis of it. But they're doing everything else that they can do to show you, like, mm-hmm, this is a full experience that, you know, has a lot of dimensionality, including, mm-hmm, right before you even get in there, the fact that you walk up and there is this exterior loop where,
yes,
you watch the vehicle drive out of its boarding area, go up to the giant doors of the temple with huge flames shooting out of them. Like, the, yeah, scale of, yeah, it is fantastic. It's similar to, it's a little bit of that, what's cool about Rise of the Resistance, where, mm-hmm, they carve out these exterior zones to be part of a mainly interior ride.
Yeah. There's also a failsafe where, like, if it's lightning, if it's pouring rain, the car can skip that outdoor section and continue to operate.
Wow. Wow.
I'm not quite sure the mechanics of the shortcut. All the videos I tried to find, like, on YouTube, like, King Kong rain, King Kong shortcut. Like, I did get a few. I was surprised. I picked three random videos and got, like, three different tour guide characters.
Yeah, I got a good mix of the,
yeah,
guides,
which I think, sure, is another, like, attention, yeah, to detail that, like, adds to this ride.
Yeah, well, we might as well dive into that. I mean,
sure.
So King Kong does not reach his hand into a vehicle and,
no,
pull out an animatronic,
no,
character, but on these vehicles. And by the way, I bought all this hook, line. It never occurred to me that it was trackless. I figured this was, like,
yeah, I didn't know
this
that.
Was a real, like a vehicle with a motor that's driving you around, and I thought the shape up front was a human being. So until we started prepping for this,
right,
genuinely did not know that these are there's nobody on them except for you, the guests, mm-hmm, and that figure up in the front is an animatronic driver. And I certainly did not know that there is a mix of five animatronic drivers,
mm-hmm,
that customize the experience.
I didn't know that until now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm convinced now, while it's cool, and I think everybody who finds this out thinks it's cool, it did occur to me, we might be the first people ever to have a conversation about it.
Well, that's,
you know,
a good question.
I mean?
Other than Universal,
like,
Creative.
Because we're going to say these names, right? Has anyone ever gone into this before?
Oh, well, I think, like, there's a lot of websites.
They have.
When they, again,
what I mean, but that's like a press release being handed to
them. Yeah, there's a press release. It was part of the press release.
Yeah,
it was,
yes,
part
clearly
of, like, the full, the all
there's no
hands
fandom
media.
Of there's no, like, Skull Island heads, Skull Island junkies.
But, you know, like a lot of things that we talk about on the show, all of a sudden in a couple weeks, stuff will start popping up and you go, did we do that?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's our egos talking, but I feel like maybe by just putting this into the world, you know, maybe there will start to see the people will be standing these characters.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, there are a lot of archetypes you see in you know, adventure movies and stuff. King Kong movies, of course. Should I just start?
Yeah, sure.
Just start?
Yeah,
hopefully.
Okay.
Right. And your starting lineup of
Becky Callahan, the loose cannon cowgirl who isn't fazed by the dangers awaiting her on Skull Island.
Archetypes, loose cannon cowgirl.
Loose cannon cowgirl. Will Denham, the fresh-faced, adventure-seeking younger cousin, famed movie director Carl Denham.
Now, okay, this is the most interesting one to me. So yeah. To explain what's going on here. Unless you're like, I know who Carl Denham is. I'm not an idiot. So this is set in 1931. The Peter Jackson King Kong that Universal has done so many attractions about, made the studio tour largely about, was from what, 2005, I think?
Yes.
Carl Denham is the filmmaker played by Jack Black,
right,
who goes to find King Kong and then make him do a mean move. Show.
Yeah.
Yes. The one who calls him the eighth wonder of the world.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
For the marketing. Also the name of the character in the 1933 King Kong is Carl Denham.
Oh, okay. That is consistent. Okay.
Cool. So, and this is where, like, I think the fandom page started to get a little spicy of, like, obviously, I mean, it's a nod to the movies, but, like, it seems unlikely that this would be a full prequel to that movie, because why would there have been an expedition and then another expedition?
Oh, right, because they're, yeah, it's yeah. unexplored. So, yeah, if the guy's nephew has already been. But yeah. they tried to make this all tie together.
Yeah.
And I watched a video where I did land on Will Denham. So, and this is all just VO. There's kind of one big spot where the character gets to make their mark, and it is in that opening loop before the plot really kicks in. But you get like one or two sentences to get to know your animatronic driver. He says his name. Hey, I'm Will. My uncle, Carl Denham, makes adventure movies. That's what I want to do someday. I can't wait to tell him about this place. You know the way you're always saying your uncle's full name?
Sure.
Yeah.
My uncle, Robert Gardner, pretty cantankerous. I don't know what else I want to say about my uncle on the podcast.
But
I should introduce you. Now you know his name.
So it is helpful that he speaks like that, because we wouldn't know otherwise.
Yeah.
I just wanted to really quickly add that Carl Denham is a character that was also appeared in the 1998 The Mighty Kong animated movie, voiced by Dudley Moore.
Oh.
So another actor who has played Carl Denham.
There was, you know, someone mentioned, like, I think one of the Universal creative people was talking about, like, yeah, we've seen, you know, baby boomers, we've seen Kong a lot, you know, we know Kong. We saw the 1966 cartoon with Kong, and I was like, did you? I forgot about that.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's a lot of Kong that
I
haven't
seen.
Yeah,
there is a lot of Kong.
A lot of Kong. And a lot of Kong to go. We still have to talk about all these other...
Oh, there's prequels.
Oh, there's more names.
And more Kong. Oh, yeah. We'll get to the... real quick, though, I'll say that I... one of my memories of sitting next to a certain on a tram tour once is just him constantly saying, Skull Island. Skull
We're
Island.
We're going back. Well, that's the truly when you I mean, like, to compare and contrast them, that the context of that tram version, and granted, it is the tram, so the things on the tram can happen in a way of, we're going to go see a set and then we'll see what happens on the set. But even they don't even really do that, because you just sort of, you're just driving in and Peter Jackson's talking to you. We're going back. And then you go into a dark room, and then all of a sudden lights turn on, and it's very impressive and the experience is impressive.
Yeah.
But there really is something to building the story. We are in 1931. We're fully committed.
There's
the driver's
for
character.
Sure.
There's the little set of Skull Island on the tram tour. They're still doing that, right?
The bigature. That's
because
he wasn't happy just using a miniature.
Of course.
He wanted to step it up, and that's why we deployed bigatures. That's what we're about to see. Get your cameras ready. You won't want to miss this.
and then
we would drive by quietly.
It's the parting of the Red Sea effect.
Yes, that became, part of the Universal Tram Tour, where you descend into a lake and then come back up out of it. But they don't. Wait, they brought it back when I was working there. Initially, they were like, we're cutting the parting of the seas.
Oh, yeah.
But then for a while, it was this awkward thing where you're talking about King Kong, and then you have to go, part the seas.
Right.
Okay, now we're going to see a bigature. So we're melding together. It's now the Ten Commandments, and it's the Bible. Yeah. Plus the 2005 King Kong.
I mean, for a generation of filmmakers, King Kong was kind of like the Bible.
Well, that's a very good point.
The 2005 one as well, of course.
As we've been told again and again and again, mm-hmm. pretty much since I've had memories, I've been told about how important King Kong is.
Mm-hmm. So it's funny because the movie Skull Island came out already 5 years ago, but back then they say Skull Island on in that part of the tram tour so much.
Yeah.
And that wasn't on the tip of our tongues like it is now.
It's no. one of those, the movie didn't really like keep. I find those things funny when Universal has like so just like all dug in. Their claws yeah. into. I mean, it sort of keeps happening. I mean, even like Secret Life of Pets does not exactly like reverberate across all of our.
Right.
Like, how many of those characters can we name? But I also I appreciate the risk involved because it feels like Disney won't get out of bed. They won't build something for a franchise that made less than $5 billion.
Yeah,
so I kind of like that Universal might go, like, we're probably close to getting a Beethoven Dark Ride.
The
they had it drafted up
about from the old Beethoven, or is there a new Beethoven?
Well, the inevitable reboot.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
that feels like a Disney Plus fodder, right? Does Disney have Beethoven now?
I don't think they do. Oh, no, that's a pride of Universal.
That is Universal. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it did have a strong... Ooh,
thank God.
Yeah. So
Beethoven and Missy and all the pups. I don't want them to be on Disney Plus. I want them to be on which
one? On
wherever Universal Peacock. Movies go.
Yeah,
Peacock sometimes.
Okay.
With Ambulance.
Michael Bay.
Ambulance. Ambulance.
Ambulance. Yes. The exclusive home to Ambulance.
Ambulance.
Okay.
LA. And yeah, you have to stop the A at the LA.
Mm-hmm. Jason wants to say these names.
Oh, no. Well, I was going to say, because King Kong, the Peter Jackson King Kong, a movie I liked fine,
mm-hmm.
and
sure.
I think made a lot of money and, you know, did well enough. That is a kind of an early example of what feels so common nowadays, where like a thing is coming out and it's pushed on you. It's pushed in a way, like Lightyear might be an example of this, where it's like it's pushed on you, on the audience. Like, you like this and you like this. Like, yeah. this is a classic movie. This mm-hmm. new release is a classic movie. Like, they were trying to reverse engineer a hit with like long lasting repercussions.
It's too big to fail. Like, there's no way. You don't have the option to not like.
Yeah, it's like, not like organic.
I feel like I'm wrong. The Kong Peter Jackson movie, which I do like in my memory of it, but I feel like it wasn't as big of a hit as they wanted it to be.
I think they wanted it to be like a Lord of the Rings hit.
Yeah, because they were coming off that. So it was
that was probably the bar for him. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it was like, because I think they would have done more. Then.
Surely this man can hit the lottery a fourth time.
Sure.
It's a fair expectation to put on a man.
Yeah. Only Cameron can do it. Only Jimmy Cameron can do it.
Yeah. And it's pre, like, internet marketing, or like,
mm-hmm.
well, we've seen the failures of organic viral sensations with like the Morbius re-release just eating shit. It was very funny. But if they had, they could have jumped on, everyone thought the... commercial for this, where that takes place with Naomi Watts and King Kong in Central Park with a Coldplay song playing. That was very funny.
I don't remember that. Oh, what song? I have zero recollection of that.
Do you remember what song it was? It was like Clocks.
It's King Kong the song.
It's a thing where they're looking at each
Bing
other.
Bong,
and
King
it seems
Kong.
Like it's romantic
mm-hmm.
with the Coldplay song playing.
Okay, is it Fix You?
I think it might be Fix You.
I don't
she's
wanna...
trying to get him to calm down.
We already have too many dangling plot threads on podcast, right? But I will say I'm sort of a Coldplay defender. Okay. I will say that.
Yeah, I like Coldplay.
That adds up.
Rush of blood to the head.
Based on what has come up before.
Not shocking.
I don't mind Coldplay.
Clocks? Yeah.
Clocks, okay. Yeah. I feel like that third album. What is that called? You know what I do like? I still like, what's the song? What's the, what's the real poppy song that I...
Jason, say some facts, quick.
Get us off here. They have this music video where a bunch of monkeys dance on an island.
It's related. Okay.
Monkeys, yeah.
Yeah. Like King Kong. Do you guys know, by the way, the story that Naomi Watts tells about David Lynch? Like, she had done 21 Grams, she had done Mulholland Drive, and she was weighing whether to do King Kong or not.
Mm.
So she asked David Lynch whether she should do it. Naomi Watts says, I remember calling up David Lynch, who's my mentor, and he said to me, and I've heard her tell this story where she does the voice, so I'm going to do the voice. Naomi, anyone who sits in the hand of King Kong is a movie star for life. And he wasn't wrong. She's gone on to great success.
Mm-hmm. All because of Kong.
Jessica Lange. I don't know if Linda Hamilton sits in his hand in the bad one that she's in.
Oh.
But she was a movie star.
Is that the Dino De Laurentiis, like, had to make a sequel?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, where he eats like a bunch of crocodiles and then dangles their bones around.
I think the Jodie Benson, I think, is the voice of the character in the Mighty Kong, the Dudley Moore
movie star for life.
So this is already 90.
Barbie
and
Toy Story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it's true.
It's true. David is right.
Think about Jody.
Yeah. Which of all the Kong movies, and we should have researched this before, which one is the weirdest in regards to the romance between Kong and the woman? That's my question. I don't know the answer, but I pose it to the listener.
Well, I think in King Kong Lives, my favorite, it's a romance with another Kong.
Yeah, well, that, yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's appropriate.
Yeah, yeah. Finally.
Yeah.
Yeah, they fixed that. Like, we finally got that one part out of it.
Yeah.
So this King Kong will finally be the most successful ever made. Nope. Certainly not a thing that no one remembers except for Scott, when Scott
brings
it up every 2.5 years.
The thing is, though, people don't want that. They learned that people want a giant gorilla and a woman to be falling in love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what they want.
That movie, that 86 one, I just
that's saw, the
I
was, heart one.
Yeah, that's the heart transplant. I saw a clip of Siskel and Ebert talking about it, and they were like, this is the part of the show where we normally show a clip, but we don't have one because the studio said, we'll let you play a clip on your local show in Chicago, but not the national. And they said, no dice. If you want us to sell your movie, why wouldn't you send us a clip for us to show everywhere? Is it not good or something? And then they went to shit. And then they just yelled at it on their show without a clip.
See, now as far as YouTube rabbit holes, I've been watching a lot of Siskel and Ebert lately.
That's a good rabbit hole. Yeah, yeah.
So. Yeah, that's healing. It's healing the gray matter in your brain.
Ebert dead wrong about Kids in the Hall brain candy.
Oh, yeah,
what was
yeah.
up his butt that day?
Ebert has a few big misses.
Yeah. He did Wet Hot American Summer wrong. Incorrect.
Oh, yeah.
Just didn't get it. You could tell he just didn't understand what it was trying to be.
Yeah, I feel like he's more right than he's wrong. But yeah, he has some big, big ones where he's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you can't bat 1,000.
Except for us. Every opinion, right. Every take.
Transformers.
Correct. Yeah. Celebrated.
Transformers better than Rise.
Unlike the folly-prone Jinx Costanza.
Jinx Costanza.
Frank. His name is revealed as Frank later on.
But Frank Costanza is Jerry Stiller.
Yes.
On Seinfeld.
Does Jerry Stiller have a Kong connection? Do you think that's a nod?
Does he fall in love with a Kong?
It has to be a nod. Also, or somebody in the building must have said, hey, that's the name.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's weird. You can't just take that name. That's one of the great characters.
It's kind of not said together. Hardened New York City ex-con who was wary of the island's mysteries. And he says prone to, like, you know, yeah, my name's Jinx because I find myself in scraps a lot, you know?
You think he said when I wrote it down, most people just call me Jinx, and the voice is like this, because I've had my share of bum luck. Before you ask, yeah, I heard about it, but I ain't seen no giant ape. Let's keep it that way.
Like he's threatening him.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Couldn't they have just gotten, they should have gotten Jerry Stiller to do it. You may as well.
Yeah. At least
he was still, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a big monkey. I can't do Jerry, sorry.
I mean, it would have been, like, what a thrilling cameo you get on. And
oh, my God.
This is a, well, the character they own, you know. Wait, no, they don't own Seinfeld. No, Seinfeld broke away.
Yeah.
Yeah. They weren't careful about it. Broke out like Kong.
Yeah, you can still get Jerry, though.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, like, wink, wink, play the character.
Yep. Anymore. Deadly Games got him. this ride did not.
It's too bad.
The final two.
Kalana, a mystical descendant of the natives who first settled on the island. The video where Kalana is narrating immediately goes, "My people worship Kong." Like,
oh,
I feel like that. I as soon as you are pulling away, it's like going to be straight with you.
So we're going to go see my
watch
God.
Out for Kong.
I'm pretty excited because we're going to meet God today.
Yeah. Charles Doc Jordan, a PhD student in paleontology who took time off from his studies to explore the world. I don't know if you could take time off. I mean, you could probably, you know, finagle some credit hours to exploring the world for paleontology, you like know?
It still applies. Yeah.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should have overlapped him, but he's
especially
got the PhD.
If you're hanging out doing on location studies at Skull Island.
Part of the Skull Island Study Abroad program.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a, there's only about a, it's about a 10% return rate.
Yeah.
You know,
Of
you know the risk you're getting into.
Yeah. The least they can get is like 6 credits, you know?
They try to send your bones back to your parents if they are not mangled too thoroughly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would have gone to Skull. Oh, no, I wouldn't. It was too scary.
Yes,
my mom would not allow.
It's pretty bad. You know, you get any of these drivers pull you in. I like that they customize it to where the archaeologist Kate says the name of the all of these, but like they change that dialogue so you know she'll say hey to Jinx.
Are you talking about Kate McCaffrey?
Kate McCaffrey. I guess I am.
Just made sure there was another Kate.
No,
you know?
No, it's archaeologist Kate McCaffrey. but she the way their little adventure starts where she just gets kind of pleasantries like, oh, hey, what's up? Hey, all right, well, we're gonna go back to the base camp. And the guy, and then I forget why the guy, they're trying to get more light on something, and then I think Joe is the guy that she's with who just says, here, I got it, and then fires a couple of flares and instantly a bunch of not bats,
no,
it's a bunch of God damn it. Terrapus Mordaxes. But just a flood. It's like it's the dumbest move in history. Here, I'll light it up. Bang, bang. Terrapus Mordax swarm instantly. He gets picked up by one, starts to carry him away. She reaches up, pulls him down. Then she gets picked up, and he makes no effort to save her.
No.
He gets right. He gets in a van
what
and
a
gets
coward.
Out of there. Yeah, so Joe
cowardly.
Sucks.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Joe. You should really be encouraged to get back to where everyone survived. Spoiler, even Kate made it, despite a lot of monster encounters. Mm-hmm. You should really boo Joe.
Yeah, Joe should be, or Kong should eat Joe.
Yes.
Just at the end.
Yeah.
Should get punished for what they, as you know, like that the Jurassic World babysitter got punished for.
He should at least
slightly poor babysitting.
He should at least like put him in his mouth for a while. Give him a good scare.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Give him a stench he
roll
can't
him around,
wash off for a couple weeks.
Roll him around on his tongue with a closed Kong mouth.
Good. Like, how far back in the throat can he get Joe without fully swallowing him? Like, really make him see some shit.
What he could get him down. Okay, would Kong's stomach acid immediately dissolve Joe's skin, or could he hit the stomach acid and Kong could put his fingers down his throat to make himself vomit again and puke Joe back up?
If he's got flares, he could maybe like electrify the stomach acid. Maybe there's like a Diet Coke Mentos effect.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
And then he flies up on flares right out of the, which then makes King Kong cough and spits him right back out to safety.
Okay, yeah, that would work perfectly as long as the acid isn't too strong to completely immediately like destroy him.
It's a is King Kong's stomach acid stronger than ours, or is that part about him not particularly notable?
That's a good question.
Super powerful.
I don't know if they addressed that in any of the
Jason
Kong movies.
Jason literally looked at his watch.
You checked your watch?
Oh, it's just a habit. It's just a tick I have.
Well, no, that's a good indicator for the listener.
Who I was also trying to check, go, like, how long have we been watch. Going? I was trying to remember.
Just something about that made you start thinking about the time.
Hey, it's a good
I look at my watch all the time when I'm recording. It's a good indicator.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Mm. Every now and then. I often don't remember when we started, so it's a useless gesture.
Okay,
so.
Well, we got time for about 2.5 more hours, right?
Yeah,
well,
sure.
2.5 more hours about Kong's stomach acid.
Yeah.
That's what
then
I
we'll
talk
get,
about.
And then we'll wrap up.
So Joe should get punished. He doesn't get punished.
He doesn't get punished. No. She gets picked up and then kind of hacks her way free.
Mm-hmm.
And then starts blasting everyone.
Up. Yeah.
And then those are the carnictuses, the carnicti, and they give you a splash out of those.
They get that. You get your universal trademark, which I've come around to now, because we've said before, oh, yeah, universal, same old trick. No, I think that's now, that's the trademark. That's the director cameo in their work.
They wrote it out. It's like the Tarantino foot shots.
Exactly.
We know you're getting them. So
how good are
buckle up.
How good are they going to be? Mm-hmm. The little splashes you get at Universal. So, yes, I like these.
They're good in this. And you know what? It's good atmosphere throughout, too. Good reminder of Doug Jones' rule that watching a video is not going on it, because a lot of my memory of it is atmosphere. Is like there's temperature changes and wind blasts. Like there is there's a feeling to these rooms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. So, they are doing all of that extra stuff that the tram tour obviously doesn't have room to do.
You get a splash on there, but it's a little more, and it's less clever, I would say, than feeling the innards of a big slug.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is so insane, where there's mouths within mouths within mouths.
Oh, yeah. There's a very, it's a really gross, are we talking about, what's the phallic looking thing?
Yeah. It is flesh color. It is human.
It's really foul. And it's not, again, it's not my twisted, dirty mind that everyone talks about from the show. It's not that. This looks like a giant penis with a big, with teeth.
Yeah. A pretty flaccid penis.
Sure. Yeah. I'm not commenting on the flaccidity.
Probably.
Seems right. Probably.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, it's very. I did not remember it from writing, but when I was watching the video, I went, oh, that's a big penis.
And you see one of those, big penises in the queue, too.
Yes. Yeah.
Which really wakes up. Really, that thing really comes to life. And
yeah, that's just there's an animatronic of that. There's animatronics at the very start of the ride of the Firmus.
Got it.
Yeah, of course, there's the big guy at the end. I think the cave stuff filmed for this ride, too. Yeah. I have to say,
everything till the main event. Yeah.
Yeah.
You get like two big. Wait, am I missing one? Is there more than one? Or are like two big filmic screen sequences
before the fight?
Show,
yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah.
I remember thinking there weren't a ton of scenes when I wrote it the first time, too. But I think that's right.
It is a long. It's in the it's like 6:30 or something is the run time.
Yeah,
it is a sizable. Yeah, it is longer. I have to say, I think I really like the first two film scenes, like more than the racing stuff, more than the driving fast, the fake out where you're driving faster, the stuff from the studio tour.
Yeah,
the new stuff.
It's better. It's more like it's kind of easier to track, I would say, moments you remember.
Yeah,
a little
for
more.
Sure.
It's so you're not sure where to look maybe in the main show.
Yeah, and I think I guess I just always wish they finished the curve. Like it didn't have to be a full 360, but to something on the roof of the car, or I don't know, I can see the edges, I feel like it. I shouldn't be able to see the edges.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah that's true. I mean it's tricky. I mean with even Soarin', it's you can, depending on where you're sitting, you can easily obviously if you're at the bottom you see the edge, it's always a little bit of couldn't you have done a little more so I don't have to see these edges sometimes.
Yeah.
It feels like they could.
Yeah.
But that's just, maybe that's just because we've been on these things a lot and people aren't actually registering that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I feel really guilty for saying anything in this area. I think we're being ungrateful to the people who give us so much great material.
Well, I want to be hashtag grateful, so I don't want to come off like that. But sometimes you, when you see the edges, you go, couldn't you? Come on. A little
well,
more.
It's something,
make the screen,
you know,
a little bigger.
When transitions in screen rides are seamless, where you really don't, which I think of Transformers, I think of Spider-Man, I think of Harry Potter. It is pretty unbelievable, where you're like, I really can't. There's no, how crazily did they put us in a physical position to never really see?
I don't remember exactly when, but I didn't even know there was that elevator thing in Transformers until fairly recently,
was
in the last couple of years. But I had to watch a YouTube video that points out the elevator that happens.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
in the middle,
Spider-Man.
Yeah, in the middle of the ride, all of a sudden you literally just go up on an elevator, which is crazy because I never noticed that. And then in the video on YouTube, somebody specifically took their phone and took a shot to show you the actual physical movement of it. And I was I never noticed that. I've ridden this so many times, and
your favorite ride just is
the best ride. Yeah,
the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah,
so amazing, isn't it? So yeah. I see what you're saying, Jason. The edges.
Yeah,
but I think if I had to choose, I'd rather do this than Kong on the studio tour. But I'd rather do Fast and Furious on the studio tour than in Florida.
Yeah, it's
Does
over
that make sense?
Quicker. Yes.
Yeah, it's over quicker.
Mercifully, there's no separate line.
Yeah, I kind of love the insane, cumbersome setups throughout the studio tour where they have to go hey, that's a strange car. Security.
Do they still do that? Oh my God.
I haven't been on in a while, but I feel like there's
I have an annual pass now, and I never go to that.
You haven't tried to get a 2-year-old on that 45-minute studio tour?
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, absolutely nightmare. Oh, my God.
There's a rumor.
And if there was any stall, if there was a 1-minute stall, sweating and sweating.
Look, Mr. Mayor's been canceled, but they're trying to film the finale. Okay.
They still owe it. It's a legal thing.
Finish the story. The rumor is Fast and Furious coaster coming. This ghost. Hopefully
coming
that's
here,
true.
Right?
That's the rumor. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see. There's been many rumors that haven't panned out, so we'll see. But that sounds like they might
Where do you think?
Well, there's a lot of speculation about where. They were talking about getting rid of animal actors and just putting it up on the upper lot.
Gasp.
Yeah. So in that section there. And some people were speculating you could kind of loop it around on the side of the mountain a little bit in a way, which sounds awesome.
Yeah, geez.
But I don't know. Then other people were saying, I don't know, you could go anywhere on the lower lot. So.
Go through the big minion's eye.
That would be amazing. They really should do something like that. But yeah, so hopefully they'll correct the Fast and Furious problem, you know? Because I think Velocicoaster as well people love Velocicoaster.
Yeah,
so I think they're high on coasters now.
Yeah,
and that takes up, it's not a huge footprint either.
Right, because a lot of that's vertical.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see. Hopefully.
Yeah. On this thing, the main sequence, it's a lot of dinosaurs.
They're not T-Rexes.
Not T-Rexes.
They're evolved.
V-Rexes.
Yeah.
Vastosaurus.
Vasta?
Vast. I mean,
Vast?
You're really looking at it like Vastosaurus, but I'm seeing an extra Tato, Tato Park. Vastosaurus.
It's like what
Craig Haley.
Craig Haley would say.
Yeah, take it to Vastosaurus. headed to Skullin Island. We're in a back.
Vastosaurus seems like it's bigger or something. That's a descriptor for a land.
More
doesn't look like they're bigger.
Violent.
Yeah, they're more violent. I do not like when Kong rips their skull. I always found that very unnerving.
He has both ends of the dinosaur's jaw and just rips it
it's the most violent,
cracks it like a nut.
Outside of Horror Nights, the most gruesome violent death in all of theme parks, maybe?
I think
so.
It's pretty crazy.
He snaps this thing's jaw.
You don't really see the aftermath of it, but you certainly see the beginning.
You kind of do. You snap the thing, and it like kind of lies. You get a good
half second of limp.
Yeah, and you're like, oh my God, Kong.
Yeah.
Gee, you couldn't get to like kick him away?
Yeah, this isn't a Batman doesn't kill situation.
Right, I get
more than willing to kill.
The law of the jungle, I understand it. I know it, but
this is a Zack Snyder Superman. That's a real crack. Yeah,
just
you know?
a quick it's a murderous hero. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, that's shocking.
I was watching Annie and I was like, whoa, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Kong, my goodness, I have to cover a child's eyes.
Yeah.
Let's see what Kong did to the Vastidosaurus. Mommy, the Vastidosaurus, what happened? Is it okay?
Is he going to Vastidosaurus heaven?
Honey, no. He's just, they're doing a joke. They're having fun. Anyway, get her off the ride.
He knows how to put him back together. He wouldn't do it if he didn't know how to put him back together. Yeah. So very shocking violence, but it does save us.
Yes.
I don't know. I guess Kate is saved off screen. So I don't know what.
Yeah.
It just made it separately. So good. Good for her. But then you get the big thing that the tram portion does not give you and has not given you since a fatal fire a number of years ago, that you do get a big animatronic King Kong. Love this. Love that they knew that that's part of the experience. They were probably hearing the thing about screen rides.
Yeah.
They know. Look, there's no conversation to me in terms of the tram tour used to have a big robot that you could see, mm-hmm. and now you go sit between some screens and then leave.
Right.
It's just not the same. Like, you want to see that big robot. Mm-hmm. You want that banana breath. And it's cool that they maybe did that calculation and realized we owe a robot.
We got to give him something, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been, the only thing is, like, the old Kong, both Kongs, both coasts, there was, like, the Kong existing in a large scale environment. Mm-hmm. That's the only note I would give it. Cause like this Kong is like, he's in a building perfectly built to his size. It feels like.
I see. There's no sense of scale as opposed to when he was messing with the bridge, you know?
Right. He's big. Obviously he's a big Kong and it's really awesome to see him. But yeah, the difference that the only thing I would say, the scale in the other rides is kind of important to my love of big robot Kong.
It's kind of weird that he just like looks at you mean. I mean, I don't love that. That would be a plus up is just do something.
The budget. Yeah. It feels like they begged the money people. Like, we need this Kong. And they're like, okay, you know how you want him to like do something or give a thumbs up or put some sunglasses on? No way. Too much movement. We need him cheaper, cheaper, cheaper. We don't want him breaking down. And they're like, all right, well, can he give him like a wink or can he? No. He just kind of has to breathe at them.
He can exist.
He can exist there and he can move a little bit. Like, it feels, that's what it feels like to me. Because again, we've said it a million times, obviously, the people making all this stuff, I'm sure, came up with the coolest ideas possible.
Yeah.
And then this was probably, the compromise. So yeah, it's better than nothing, of course.
Yeah.
You
know, smoke a big cigarette.
Fantastic.
Oh, man.
Cool, that'd be.
Oh,
classic
fantastic.
Winston.
Oh, can I complain about a cigarette thing real quick?
What?
It's unrelated. I just have to. Because Super 7 is a company that makes toys, and they're making a Krusty the Clown toy. And when they first showed the pictures of Krusty the Clown, he came with a cigarette, and a hand that had a cigarette, and Mr. Teeny, who has smoking a cigarette as well. And I was like, holy shit, this is the greatest thing ever. Disney stepped in and said, no cigarettes. Oh. And now they've had to revise the toy. No cigarette.
Disney stepped in?
Well, that's who owns Krusty.
Why else would you have? Yeah.
Yep. Because I was shocked that they let it. Because I remember I was texting Justin Michael, look at this, Krusty the Clown cigarette. We're like, hell yeah. We want to see it. We want to get it. And then, no, Disney stepped in and it sucks.
Can't have good things. That's really, like, I think they're going to change some minds with the people, with the 30-somethings buying.
Some adult collectors.
Toy monkey.
Kids are going to be like, Mr. Teeny is smoking with my dad's $45 adult adult collectible toy, and now I'm going to smoke.
I want to be like that minor character monkey.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Just so annoying to me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, the Robot Kong. I mean, this is where I will be grateful. I'm happy to see my friend King Kong. I feel warmly to King Kong. I'm happy to see a giant animatronic.
I am
Kong
happy
again.
Too. I am grateful for Kong as well. I don't
grateful,
want you to think I'm not.
So, no, and he does look emotive.
Mm-hmm. He does. He's yeah. I'm glad he's there.
So, yeah. No, it's great. It's
I think they did a good job. It was, you know, I one article was pointing out, article from the time this came out, that this was Universal's first big attraction, like, in the Florida park since they built Diagon Alley. So I'm sure there were unreasonable expectations.
Oh, yeah.
That it's like, well, you build a massive giant land, surely you're going to hit it out of the park with this one. And I think it's a solid B plus A minus. You know, I think it's a rock solid ride. Like,
absolutely.
I think it's fun.
It's like a ride they didn't need to have, but they did. Yeah. It. Look, I don't know. It's where Universal is at as opposed to Disney. I don't think Disney's building rides that they don't need to build. Like,
right.
It feels like a Blockbuster, nothing. And then you go years between things. And boy, what they've added, especially lately to Universal Orlando in terms of mid-level, not even mid-level, they're all like Blockbuster, but they it's like somewhere between D and E ticket. There's just a lot, like, I think all the time about how much they are winning the war.
D plus is great. D pluses.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't sound great.
Disney
pluses. They're doing a lot of Disney pluses.
But they had a run there where it's like Cabana Bay opens, the water park,
Volcano Bay.
Volcano
you can easily
Bay.
Name the hotel, but not the
two. Well, they're two bays.
Well, I know one of them's a water theme park. I know that for a fact.
Well, the third park.
The third Volcano park. Bay. The water
That's
theme
That's the
park.
Only thing I don't like about it.
I know.
It.
Yeah.
Hate it. Not a third gate.
Volcano Bay.
So, I mean, they also opened Jimmy Fallon after that. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it doesn't make them not be winning the war,
When's their fourth park opening? Isn't it in a couple of years?
2025?
Makes me wish it wouldn't be built. That's how awful that is.
To hear that it's park. The fourth?
No.
Yeah. No?
You have yet to see the volcano up close, though.
Yeah. So you'll sign off on it. Good enough.
I'll
this
sign
is good
off
enough
on the,
that it's the third.
The
park.
Volcano itself is good enough for the third park. The water slides not as much.
Uh-huh.
But the volcano is third park worthy. But the theming around it is not as
okay
as good or existent at all.
Right.
Because as you're standing on the slides, you can just see the houses on the street over across the street.
Yeah, it is right along the freeway. Yeah, I know.
Because that volcano is incredible. You go inside it, you're like, I was just like sitting in that wave pool, like looking up and going, this thing is incredible. Wow. And then you go on the slides and you're just like, there's some houses over there.
Yeah.
That just breaks the immersion a little bit.
I remember I saw that when I was down for that bachelor party last summer, which is when I did this attraction. I broke off from the group to do it. I chickened out of Hulk. I'm not quite there on Hulk. That seems like exactly above the line for me, but it was also a good excuse to go do this. I wanted to see this. Mm-hmm. Over the course of that is the first time that I had the best beer in theme parks, the Island Nublar IPA.
Oh, yeah.
So great. Oh, my God. And it kind of like, I mean, probably, we'd like, there were like shots before we got in the car to go, so I was already a little hazy. That Island Nublar IPA kind of fucked me up, and like it's like sort of a, I don't know, like pretty high alcohol content, I think, and something between that and the atmosphere of this queue, it was like there was just a lot. Like, it is scary. It freaked me. It's so like misty and dark. We didn't even talk about that animatronic, the like creepy lady.
Oh yeah,
the Shaw woman. They even say.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that she was warning you to not, you know, to get out of there, and just like. I just remember, like, I was in such a mood, and I was trying to hook back up with them and failing to do so. I didn't know if they just weren't checking their phones or if it was a reception issue. But so it's all, I'm kind of in a haze. The line is scary. I'm starting to genuinely think, am I going to like lose the group? What if I have to go home by myself? And what if my phone runs out of battery and I don't remember how to get back to the house with Iron Man on the wall? And on top of it, it was becoming very clear how much Delta was a
big real threat. So I was also thinking, I'm getting Delta right now in this line. This is the most claustrophobic line. I think I even waited out a breakdown. I think it was like, it's going to be down for a minute if you want. And I did stay in there. But then over the course of that, oh, but that means I'm getting Delta. So I'm getting, there was so much hitting me all at once, and it probably wouldn't have all been freaking me out as much without the atmosphere of the queue.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It really did put me in a mood and transport me. So yeah, it's as close as I can come to saying an unskippable.
Because it gave you the fear. It gave you the fear.
Yes, it sparked my other fears,
buoyed by real life fears
of
disease and loneliness and abandonment.
Indeed. No, yeah. It was a very dramatic situation. I felt like Kate. Oh, I worried they were all gonna be Joes and leave me in the lurch.
Yeah. You try to explain that too to Jinx Costanza, and he's like, Delta, I've heard of some great music coming out of the Mississippi Delta, but I don't know what you're talking about, pal.
I don't want... I've never seen no Delta around here. Let's keep it that way.
But the Mighty Kong rescued you.
Yeah.
He rescued all of us in a lot of ways. We all fell in love with him. We all sat in his hand in a certain way.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be
and
a better
plus? He made us all stars. We were all Kong stars that day.
If I could plus it up, because that's what I would do. Like, it's a good ride if I plus it up. If we could somehow touch his hand or sit in his hand. I know you're not supposed to touch stuff on rides, but...
Well, that plus up is an experience you can have outside of a lot of wax museums.
Well, that's true.
So you got that. You could go do that.
Mm. But like, what if you put his hand up against the tram or put up against the car and you could kind of like touch it?
Oh, boy. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, I guess you could still like snag clothing and somebody would be ripped out accidentally maybe, but...
Yeah. You just got to keep it there for a while, and you're supposed to immediately understand that this is so that you can touch him.
Well, he would say it, I think.
Touch me.
Touch me.
Touch me.
Feel me. Hold me, thrill me, kiss me, kill me. Yeah, plus it ups, but I don't know. It's hard to plus this up because I think, my gripes that I've already shared is like open, like a bigger space to see the Kong robot. And
yeah.
And you, okay.
I was going to say, I think I have a plus up, which is that I really like in the redone Jurassic Park boat ride at Universal Hollywood, the Jurassic World ride, there was like an indoor habitat. Like
up at the top.
Up at the top. Yeah, there's kind of a jungle at night. I would say 86, the studio tour footage, 86 that, and just build a habitat in there. And use some of those screens, like they like have some practical dinosaurs and maybe like a small Kong in the distance. Use some of those screens, like area screens they have in like the Navi River Journey that kind of like blend into the practical scenery. Oh, and I guess it's hard to do a big dramatic climax, like a big fight scene. But they did something interesting with practical stuff in a limited space, and I just think you could do that here.
So you want to see what? Actually, now I understand what you're asking for. You want to see Robot Kong kill the robot Vastidosaurus?
Yeah, I want to see the crack in real life.
You want to see the robot have its jaw come unhinged?
Yeah, essentially. That sound to be coming from the robot.
Yeah. That's the tough. It is tough because so much of this stuff, when you like action wise, it's so hard to do that with robots, almost impossible. So it is tricky. I mean, what you're saying, I think you could do it, but I feel like you'd have to do it the whole time. You'd have to get the audience used to the reality of the ride with like screens and robots. So like if the climax, I like the idea. It's just it would be like a little jarring, maybe, but maybe not.
My plus up isn't for this. It's for Volcano Bay. It's you make it Skull Island.
Oh,
you
turn,
you
wow.
reshape the volcano, and it's you're in King Kong's stomach, and the water on all the sides is his stomach.
Oh, so he's the volcano is not on Skull Island. He is the volcano.
Yeah.
You turn him into the volcano.
Yeah. I guess you have to you give him a head or something. But you're crawling. Any slide that you're going on, you're lost in his innards.
So
sure, it's still more feasible than when they were going to try to build a King Kong that you would board and then would climb the stratosphere.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's such a cool idea.
That is great. So the volcano, I just want to go back to the volcano real quick, because like they do a little show where the volcano erupts every so often. So Kong would have some sort of acid reflux every 45 minutes and like throw up bile onto the people in the wave pool.
That's him vomiting, but it's good, you know. Okay. It's good because it adds more acid to the wave
pool. Add more acid to the wave pool.
And then every, you know, there's only, you start up there at the top of his body, there's only so many ways out. So you're trying to, every slide is trying to get out of King Kong's dick or butt.
That's good.
Yeah.
If you, as long as you can touch his hand in that instance, I think I would be fine with it.
Definitely, because, look, I'm here thinking dirty. You want soft intimacy.
I want soft intimacy.
I think that there's room for both at this new improved Skull Island park.
Okay, so Skull Island is the official third park of Universal.
Yes, now that I would, once they do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Ride the movies, slide the stomach acid. you survived Podcast the Ride, I think.
You've survived. If you've been listening, you were just like tumbling around inside of our stomach acid, our our guts, our brain, our brain acid, I really should say, inside of our skulls.
And you lighting up a couple flares is when I go like, ooh, my stomach hurts.
Let us out of this Bill Maher heavy episode. Oh, what have I done?
And yet I'm going to encourage people to go back in and slosh around some more, because you can find us on all the socials at Podcast the Ride. Merch is available in our T Public store. And for 3 bonus episodes every month, check out Podcast the Ride, The Second Gate, or get one more monthly bonus episode on our new tier, Club 3. You'll find all that at patreon.com/podcasttheride. Might bear mentioning in this one, the quick programming note, if you want a sense of what's going on the new tier in Club 3, the third, the earned third park of Podcast the Ride. One more monthly bonus episode beyond what you already got on The Second Gate. We just did our first poll of what are those topics going to be. Narrowed it down to 5. We got to hundreds of great ideas from everybody, but the King Kong, the one to beat by far was the topic suggestion. Eva Anderson talks about whatever she wants, won by a landslide, by a stomach acid slide. And I just want to say that's coming. Eva has been. We have reached out to Eva. We've sent up the Eva flare. She responded. Like a bunch of Skull Island bats.
She's overnighted swarm us in a box full of crocodile bones. That could really mean anything coming from you.
It'll make sense when we do it. So I just want to hype that up. That'll be coming at some point in July. Might even take a minute to come together, so be patient. But that'll be coming in July on Club 3. That's at patreon.com/podcastTheRide. We hand things over to Eva, which probably might be the best choice.
Sure,
The listeners are really trying to tell us something here. Hey, what do you want us to talk about? Why don't you let someone else
decide, you monsters, you vastosauruses. So that's fun. Whatever it is fun. I know. Mm-hmm. I know that.
We're gonna figure it out. The expedition begins.
And real quick, I just want to say, if you know, Peter Jackson, talking about Peter Jackson, and you know, we just did Get Back, which was, we all watched obviously over the Christmas break. If you want to hear a discussion about it, Sammy and Bill talk about it on Club Random, and they have some interesting takes on it.
Were the Beatles important to those guys growing up?
But not the Frighteners. They don't touch on the Frighteners.
Haven't finished it yet, but so far they have not touched on the Frighteners.
Not so much about the Peter Jackson filmography.
I don't know. But Get Back, yes. All I know is that it broke Sammy's heart, and it was hard for him to watch.
Well, he's had some band strife of his own. Maybe we'll get a documentary about that one
day. That's what he says.
Fingers crossed.
That's what he says.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Mike Carlson, Jason Sheridan, Scott Gardner, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.